guys, welcome back to Navigate Devotional. Here at Navigate, our hope and prayer is to help you engage with the Bible. It's through the Bible that God speaks, and today, as we have a conversation over this passage, we hope you're able to be refreshed, challenged, and comforted by what God says.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigate. I'm joined again with Darren Dakers from Liberty Church, and we're going to be talking about the heart of Jesus this week. Today's passage is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 5, verse 2, and this is what it says. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. All right, so Darren, welcome back.
Thanks, mate.
Here we are.
Here we are.
In the last episode, we were beginning to think about Jesus' heart, how he's gentle and lowly. He's kind of got his arms out to us, welcoming us back. He's lowered every barrier between us and him.
Absolutely.
Now we're building on that in this passage. So let's dig in.
Yeah. So this passage is really looking at how Jesus can deal gently with his people.
Yeah.
And it's such a, maybe it's such a contrast to the kind of harsh culture we live in. Everything's just harsh. It's just rough. You know, social media is just a rough place. Our politics is a rough place. There's no room for nuance. Clickbait headline. Everything's harsh and rush. Even our language, you know, people are like, I hope you crush it at work today. I hope you just, I just slayed that work out. I'm just killing it right now at my job. Yeah. It's like no one says like, yeah, you gently caressed it with the back of your hand. Like that just, like gentleness isn't prized or esteemed. And yet here Jesus comes in and says, I can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward.
And especially just on that point, like especially between a superior and inferior, the way that a superior interacts with the inferior, it's often in our culture harshly.
Totally. And just workplace, interns, apprentices, it's, you'd get treated harsh and then you toughen up. You know, even just growing up, we had harsh dealings maybe with parents or we had church experience that was just harsh. And so we have, I think, this fundamental fear. If I disclose weakness and if I confess sin and if I be honest with struggle, am I going to be dealt with gently?
Yeah.
Am I going to get a fair hearing or am I going to get dragged over the coals? And we've got in Jesus a great high priest who's actually able not just to sympathize with us, but deal gently with us.
So sympathy is like, I feel sorry for you, but empathy is this, no, I feel you. I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
And it's a helpful difference to see that Jesus isn't just like, man, I feel sorry for this clown.
Mm.
It's like, no, I know
yeah.
you. I know what you're going through.
He understands the agony. And that's a good thing to think. Like we can think Jesus is so disconnected from our lived experience that he doesn't know what it's like to be me. He doesn't know what it's like to be in my situation with my struggle. After all, he was, you know, fully divine. But he was fully human, and he experienced temptations in all the ways that we had, and more intensely because he didn't give up under pressure.
Yeah,
he experienced more temptation, more pressure from life. Like life kicked him down more than it's kicked me down.
Yeah,
like it hasn't sent me to the cross yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so Jesus experienced that, but kind of continued to walk in holiness. So he understands and he can sympathize with being a human because he's been one.
Mm.
He's experienced it.
Yeah.
And I think we like that, right? We like when someone has kind of walked through the same shoes. Mm. And so because they've walked in the same shoes as us, well, they can sympathize with what we've gone through. Well, that's who we've got in Jesus. And he's able to perfectly represent us to God because he sympathizes with us and he can represent God perfectly to us.
Yeah. So you did say sympathize a lot there.
Yeah.
But he doesn't feel that sympathy in the sense of the negative sense of that word.
Sure, yeah. Sorry, the nuance. Yeah, the nuance around empathy. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I threw you off there because it is language that's helpful in the same place,
yeah,
right?
No, yeah, it can be. Totally. Yeah. Totally. I maybe have a more positive positive view on sympathy.
Yeah.
And I think the distinction you're making is right. So I'll you can use my sympathy as your empathy.
Yeah, good.
You've got more nuance.
Well, I just think, you know, sometimes and sometimes we think about God like this to us. You know, sometimes sympathy does have this this idea of like, oh man, like that kid, that poor kid.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
It's a negative, condescending way to look at someone.
Right. Right.
That's how I kind of see it. But
sure.
We're on the same page.
I think on the same.
As our listeners are with us as well.
Yeah, listen to Ben, not me on that.
Or just feel the vibe of what we're talking about. Now, okay, so he has this feeling towards us that he knows what we're going through.
Yeah.
Whatever word we want to use there. But there's a picture here of there's high priest language here that we've got to kind of wrap our heads around to know what it means that God knows, Jesus knows what we're going through. So
yeah.
Yeah, what do we do with that?
Yeah, so, I mean, we needed priests, right? So we aren't able to have access to God on our own because of our sin. Just like you and I just can't roll up to the, you know, I was going to say the White House, but that's in America.
Yeah.
To Capitol Canberra. What's it called?
Don't know.
Let's go. ScoMo is like, we just can't roll up and chat to ScoMo. We don't have that kind of access.
Yeah.
So we need someone on our behalf. Jesus and priests were that. They represented God to the people and the people to God. Mm. They atoned for sin. And they made a way for people to commune with the Heavenly Father. So these priests were like a picture and a foreshadow of Jesus who would come as the ultimate high priest.
Yeah.
Now, he was different, right? Because he didn't have to atone for his own sin because he didn't need to. The weakness he experienced wasn't one of personal sin, but it was just lived life and human experience, being bound in a human body.
Yeah.
So he comes and represents us perfectly. To the Father, which we need, which is awesome news because he's able to deal gently then with us. He's the one dealing with us.
Yeah.
We don't have someone representing us who is against us. He's for us.
Mm.
Other places in Hebrews will talk about him being our intercessor and our advocate. He's on our side.
Yeah.
And so he says that he can deal gently. This is talking about the high priest, but then you can apply it to Christ as the fulfillment of it. He can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. So we kind of talked about the weakness of him and being able to empathize with us.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is like just who are the ones that he can deal gently with? The ignorant and the wayward.
Mm.
So the ignorant are like those who are unaware that they're in an issue. And the wayward are those who have gone off track. But if the ignorant and the wayward come to him, which is why the end part of chapter 4 is so important, let us with confidence draw near the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Mm.
As the ignorant and wayward come to him, man, he knows he can deal gently with us.
Yeah.
He can, when you get like a bit of, I don't know, dirt or dust in your eye.
Yeah.
It's like in that moment, you do not need a fire hose.
Yeah.
You need that little 3 mil squirt of water just to get in there and take care of it. That's how Jesus, he's able to give us the right kind of tenderness in dealing with us. Because guess what? I don't want to say for you, but when I sin and when I'm feeling that, I'm feeling the shame, I'm feeling temptation to retreat. But his gentleness, just again, he's just lowering the barrier. I can deal gently with you, you who are ignorant, you who are wayward.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
It's beautiful. And it does, you know, like verse 16, it is a, like, you know, let us then approach, like, let us come.
Yeah.
Like, when we understand who this God is.
Yeah.
It's like, if we need this God, like, we need this God not to shame us, not to push us down even more.
Absolutely.
And that's what we get here. No, he's not a God that's going to do that because he knows what we're going through.
Yeah.
He's been it. He's walked that
absolutely.
Path and he's going to help us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. And so again, one is it's like, so come to him.
Mm.
Some of us, can I come to him in the midst of my daily struggle?
Yeah.
So draw near. Do we ever get the sense that Jesus will, he'll like face compassion fatigue?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He's not drained by us. He's not drained when we come to him. And he's never confused with our problem.
Yeah.
Like he's never kind of grasping for, oh, I'm just not sure how to deal with your sin. I'm not sure what to do with, like he knows exactly how to deal with us when we come to him with our weakness.
Yeah, and you know, like as you're talking there, I think so often what happens is like if we're in a moment, you know, where we're facing, you know, sickness or death or whatever. Yeah. Like, those are the moments we often turn to God. I think times where we don't is when we've just had like a day where we've had the opportunity to turn to God and we didn't.
Yeah.
You know, like I've found that, like, you might get half an hour where you've got this decision, am I going to sit on my phone or am I going to, yeah, you know, pray and turn to him or whatever. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, you feel guilty or this shame, or, you know, you've lived in this kind of this moment of godlessness. I think in that too, it's like whatever space we're in, it's like he's still inviting us, come.
Well, and I think in that space, he's even more eager for us to come to us. For us to come to him.
Yeah.
Because again, he's seeing us. He's like, he doesn't want us to spiral downward. Yeah. He our sin moves him. I think it was Alden said, it moves him more to pity than it does spite.
Wow.
Like his heart actually enlarges the more that we're struggling to bring him out. He leans in more. Mm. And so as we gonna even resist, it just kind of amplifies his desire to be with us more. So again, come to him, come to him, because he's able to deal with us gently.
All right, so let's pull this together and wrap it up today. As we finish up again, there's an amazing comfort here.
Yeah, absolutely. Our in a culture of harshness, we have a Savior who is gentle, and this gentle Savior wants to deal gently with us, and so we have no fear in going to him.
Yeah,
he will deal with us not only just justly, but gently.
Yeah, it's good.